All right, James chapter 1. I've got several texts of scriptures, and when Cheryl was in the hospital for all that time, I believe the Lord gave me this message that I'm going to share with you today. And one of the scripture verses is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And you can just look at the screen at Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are the called according to His purpose." Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your holy word and the lessons of Your word. And I pray, Lord, that You will bless the reading and the preaching of Your word. Lord, I pray this message will have an impact upon us as we go through trials and difficulties in life. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are preachers who seem to say that since God wants us to be happy, that God wants us to be happy, and therefore He's going to turn your poverty into prosperity. When you get sick, He's going to heal your body. And so if you're going through a difficulty, then all you need to do is just pray and believe God, and He will turn your circumstances around, and everything is going to be okay. Yet my Bible teaches that there are times when it is going to be God's will for you to go through poverty, go through sickness, go through difficult circumstances. For some believers, you may never be relieved in this life of the difficulty that you're going through. And we see one of the reasons why this is true in James chapter 1 and Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8. In verse 3, James says that the testing of your faith produces patience, or better translated, patient endurance. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 5, and verse 3. And so as you face trials in life, we will have a tendency to give up. And the fact that God gives us trials to build patient endurance in our lives tells us that there will be times when we go through long trials. And you're going to need that endurance, that stamina, to help you not give up, but to keep fighting and to keep living as God would have you to live. But both scriptures also point out that God uses trials and difficulties in our lives to build character and to build maturity in our lives. And Paul adds that when we go through difficulties, God gives us the opportunity to exercise our hope in Christ. We know that as Christians, things are going to be better. It's just a matter of when. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that our Christian hope will not disappoint. It will not end up in disappointment, but God will ultimately deliver us when we face difficulties in life. And then Romans 8:28, we all know Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. As we go through trials, we can know that this doesn't feel good, but God is going to work good through the trials that we're going through. And so for these reasons, we can rejoice in the midst of our trials. We can be even thankful to God for the trials that we're going through, because we know God has assured us of the good work He's going to do through them. Cheryl experienced one of the greatest trials of her life, and I shared in her suffering and grief. The last time she sang in this church, she sat down there, same spot, and started hurting. And that afternoon, we went to the ER, and she was admitted, and they did all these tests for about 4 days and finally decided that her gallbladder needs to come out. And as soon as it came out, it wasn't long before the nausea was gone. She could eat once again. She was discharged the very next day. Everything seemed to be going in the right direction. But then about a week later, she started having pain again. She started having nausea again. Her labs and the standard follow-up started showing that her liver enzymes were going up, and she went back to her nurse practitioner this time and did more tests, and the liver enzymes were up even higher, and she was getting fatigued and found it difficult to even climb the steps in our home. And so she was advised to go back to the hospital and be admitted for an MRI to see what's going on. And for the next 30 days, she experienced 5 biopsies, a number of CT scans, 2 MRIs. She experienced being poked with needles over and over and over and over again in her body. She gained 27 pounds of fluid retention while she was there. She got to where she could hardly move without assistance, even in the bed. Inflammation began to rage in her body as her immune system was battling something we just did not know what. And because of that inflammation, her kidneys began to fail, and she experienced acute kidney failure. Had to go on dialysis for the next 3.5 weeks. And that was probably the most difficult part of what she experienced. And after 30 days, they were talking about discharging her to rehab, not finding the answer, but you're just going to have to live with it. You're just going to have to stay on dialysis the rest of your life. You're going to be disabled probably for the rest of your life. We were even thinking she might not even survive what she was going through. But as you know, God answered many prayers, and she began to have significant improvement. You see, God arranged for a surgery to take place which would remove what we believe turns out to be what her immune system was reacting to. And yes, prior to that surgery, our Christian faith was tested. Why, Lord, would you allow this to happen to a pastor's wife, a godly woman? Why, Lord? We wondered, why and how would we respond if it turned out God did not heal her? Would we become down and depressed? Would we even lose our faith in God through this experience? Well, in James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Romans 5:3 says, we glory in tribulations. How can you have joy? How can you glory in tribulations? That's the very opposite of the way most people respond to difficulties in their lives. How is that even possible? Well, in both verses that I read to you, the key is the word knowing. Knowing these truths, we can have joy. Knowing these promises, we can glory in our tribulation. Knowing Romans 8:28, we can have joy. We can have gratitude, even in the midst of difficulty. And so I want to share with you, in addition to what James and Paul shared, were positive outcomes that every Christian should experience as you go through trials. I'm going to share six additional positive outcomes that we experienced through 55 days in the hospital and the rehab unit. And the first is this: we experience God's presence in a new way. You know, we all know Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The word evil there can mean adversity, difficulty. I will not be afraid of the adversities I will face, for you are with me, David said. Sometimes it's only in the valley, the dark valley, that you experience God's presence the most. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Exodus chapter 3, God says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. God says, I will be present. I will deliver you when the time is right. You'll go through difficulties. You'll go through suffering. But my presence will be very real to you. And I can testify to the fact that God was always with us, even though it seemed at times that He wasn't. God made His presence known. And you know, we have to live not by faith and not by sight and feeling. When those times come when it feels like God is not present, because He promises that He will be present in the difficulties. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Oh, even when everyone else had forsaken him, Paul says, I know God was right there with me. And so it's through the difficulties that we can experience God's presence in a whole new and deeper way. You know, I want to apply that truth to what I heard Drew, when he visited, called the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence. You know, sometimes someone is going through a very difficult time, and sometimes you just don't know what to say or what not to say. And sometimes we can say things that really aren't helpful. But you know what means the most? Just your presence. Just your presence during a difficult time like that. And God says, when you go through the trials and the difficulties of life, I will be present with you. He assures us of that. Also, as we go through trials, we have an opportunity to see God work in some amazing ways. We experience many answers to prayer as a result of this trial that we went through. And I shared many specific answers to prayer a few Sunday nights ago as I shared the testimony. But one of the most amazing providential works of God in this experience was after about 30 days, I was frustrated with the lack of progress, and I called Cheryl's nurse practitioner and shared my frustration, and she had been frustrated with the lack of progress as well, and we talked, and she said, you know what, I'm going to see what I can do. And she started to call a surgeon that she knew, trying to find some surgeon that would take this out of her body that she believed and we believed was causing this inflammatory response. And when she called, it was during a time when surgeons usually are all tied up in surgery. And yet when she called and they didn't answer, they called back, every one of them, probably within 15 minutes. And if they couldn't help, they referred her to someone else they thought could help. And so after the fourth phone call, the fourth surgeon, that surgeon hearing the situation, knowing that we had already referred and had a consultation with surgery at the hospital, she said, I'll get one of my surgeons to take care of this. And that young surgeon heard about this, and he had walked in our room that afternoon and explained the complications that could take place and said, you know what, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. We prayed, Lord, if this is of you, let it happen tomorrow. It may not happen tomorrow. Other surgeries could take priority. But yet, sure enough, it happened the very next day. And as soon as she got out of surgery, within a day or two, we began to see improvement each and every day. If she had not experienced the difficulties that she went through, she would not have been able to experience such amazing answers to prayer. Listen, Christian, you cannot experience victory without entering into the battle. You cannot pass a test without entering the test and taking the test. You will generally not experience great answers to prayer without going through a time of great need. Every trial and difficulty is an opportunity to see God work in some amazing ways. Yes, this provided an opportunity to see God work in some amazing ways. But thirdly, I was given an opportunity to manifest covenant love. When Cheryl and I married 45 years ago, this is what I vowed to her.
Would you repeat after me? I, Steve, take thee, Cheryl.
I, Steve, take thee, Cheryl.
To be my wedded wife.
Be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and health.
Sickness and health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
And thereto.
And thereto.
I give thee my faith.
I give thee my faith.
You know, we make that vow, but it's not until you go through a difficult testing that your vow is proven whether it's genuine or not. Whether you'll be faithful or not. And I tell you, as Cheryl was going through that, there was never any question in my mind but that I would be faithful to her and help her through this great trial. And I want to give you two reasons why. First, I believe that living the Christian life is largely learning what God is like and following His example. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as God also has loved us and given himself for us. Be imitators of God. God is loving. God is faithful, and we ought to be loving, and we ought to be faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant. Romans 8:39 says that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And absolutely nothing was going to separate me and Cheryl in that moment of need in her life. But I'll give you another reason why I determined to be faithful no matter how difficult that would be in ministering to her and helping her all those weeks. And it's this. I've thought about this before. If I were the one laid up in that hospital, very sick, I have no doubt where Cheryl would be. No doubt. Because we have a covenant marriage in sickness and in health, richer or poor, no matter what. We have a covenant relationship. And one way that I was able to express my covenant love to her was ministering to her. When she got to where she could hardly do much for herself, I was there to minister to her. And let me tell you something else that I realized 55 days. You cannot pay staff to do what love will do. They will not be as prompt. They will not be as devoted in ministering as love would cause us to be. I tell you what, I was determined, and I know enough in ministry and years of visiting in the hospital that Cheryl needed to get up and walk to preserve her strength. And from the very first day she was in that hospital, I saw to it that she got up and walked 2 and 3 times every day, except when I was prevented from doing so by hospital policy. She'll tell you, if it weren't for me, she probably would not be half as far along as she was, because that's what covenant love does. Can your spouse count on you to express faithful covenant love? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And if you are a Christian, you have entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. You are the bride of Christ. And if He calls upon you to suffer persecution and difficulty in life, are you always going to stay faithful to Jesus? Or are you going to allow the difficulties to cause you to turn from Christ? Yes, God gave me an opportunity to manifest my covenant love to my wife through that great difficulty. Furthermore, this trial drew us closer together and to God. I've never been in the military, but I've been told that those that go into battle together, those comrades form a bond that is for the rest of their lives. And as we battled this sickness together, it bonded us even closer together. And my love and service to her bonded us even more. Of course, trials have a way of drawing us closer to God as well. Haven't you found that to be true? We drew closer to God through prayer and through our devotional Bible readings together. I look forward to the times I could open God's Word and read God's Word to Cheryl while she listened to God's Word, and we would pray together. Yes, it drew us closer together and closer to God. That's another reason why we should rejoice in trials, because of what God can do through them. Then it also gave an opportunity for our faith to be tested and proven genuine. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word genuineness is a word that means to put to the test to determine whether it's genuine gold or not. And Peter is saying it's through trials that your faith and profession is tested. And if you're faithful to Jesus through the trials, then that proves your faith is genuine, and such faith is more precious than gold, Peter says. Yes, it's as we go through difficulties, we can rejoice that those difficulties will give us assurance that our faith is genuine. But on the other hand, read the parable of the sower, where Jesus talks about someone who professes to be Christ, to follow Christ, but as soon as persecution and difficulties come, they fall away. Their faith is not genuine. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "A false faith can only float in smooth water, but true faith, like a lifeboat, is at home in storms. If our religion does not bear us up in time of trial, what is the use of it? If we cannot believe God when our circumstances appear to be against us, we do not believe Him at all." Is your faith being tested right now? I imagine an audience this size, some of you are going through a difficulty right now. The question is, will you remain faithful to God through that difficulty? Will your faith be demonstrated to be genuine? On the other hand, if adversity causes you to lose your faith or to cause you to turn from God, your faith isn't genuine, and it's an opportunity to turn to God and say, "God, give me true faith, because that's what I need." But finally, it gave an opportunity to receive love from so many people. You know, being loved is one of the joys of life. It's a great feeling. And one occasion when we have the much-needed opportunity to give love is when a person's going through a great difficulty in their life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? It is the law of love. One way we show love is by bearing one another's burdens. And you know, we experienced that very thing. We had over a dozen people that let us know that we'd be happy to come sit with Cheryl so you can be relieved for a while and take care of personal and other responsibilities. They bore that burden with us. We had people who provided meals. We received so many visits and cards and calls and texts and emails and social media expressions of love. Many prayed with us over the phone or in person. In fact, we belong to a chorus, and one of the members of the chorus called and prayed with me and us. Beautiful, beautiful prayer. There were some folks that I haven't had contact with in a long time, former members and so forth, that reached out to us. And what a blessing it was to hear from them and receive love from them and renew acquaintance once again. And you know, when you go through a difficulty, it's such a blessing to have a church family. It is so important to have family in a time of difficulty, but it's an added blessing when you have a church family that will come and minister to you during your time of difficulty. And you know, I pastored another church as an interim. And so we got a double blessing. We had this church family and the church family where I served for 13 months, all coming and ministering to us during that difficult time. You know, Paul faced imprisonment due to persecution, and many people ministered to him during his time of difficulty. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. Often he refreshed me. Often he would visit me. Often he would help me. May God bless him, his family. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 2, it says, and embarking in a ship. Now, Paul was a prisoner. He was going to be sent to Rome. We, that is Paul and Luke, put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian. If you read about Aristarchus, who's ever heard of Aristarchus? Well, he's referred to two or three other times in Paul's missionary journeys. And yet Aristarchus said, you know what, Paul, I'm going to come and minister to you and accompany you as you take that journey on that ship. Well, I think we know Proverbs 18:24. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That was Aristarchus. That was Luke. Oh, what a blessing it is to have friends like that. And so we have the opportunity to receive love during times of difficulty, and we have the opportunity to give love to others during their time of difficulty. You know, I had a number of people to say to me during those days, you know, if there's anything we can do, you let me know. And I'm sure everyone would have done what I asked them to do. But let me say, at the receiving end of it, the ones that I found very helpful were the ones that said, not just if there's anything I can do, but actually said, let me do this for you. Let me do that for you. Let me come and I'd be happy to come and sit with Cheryl for a while. Here's a gift card for you to go get you something to eat. How can I pray specifically for you during this difficulty that you're going through? Does your grass need cutting? Is there something around the house that needs to be taken care of? Boy, those one way to bear one another's burdens in such a time as that. And you know, we receive that kind of love from no small number of people. And then on top of that, the church took up a love offering to help the financial burden as well. You know, when you go through difficulties, it's such a blessing to have a church family, as I said. But let me make another application. When you're going through a difficulty, how can people minister to you if they don't know about it? So don't be afraid to let people know when you're going through a difficulty. Don't be afraid to get your name on that church prayer list. Let people pray for you by name. And so the next time you face a trial or a difficulty, remember what I've shared with you. And look with joyful anticipation and gratitude for what God is going to do through that difficult circumstance that you're going through. How he's going to build character and endurance in your life, how He's going to draw you closer to Him and others through that experience, how you're going to be able to witness answers to prayer, how your faith can be tested and proven genuine, how you can experience love from so many people as you go through that difficulty. And so don't respond with despondency and despair, but respond with joy and gratitude, anticipating what God and others are about to do in your life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just thank You that You promise never to leave us or forsake us. I thank You for the ministry of God's people who come alongside and minister to people that are hurting and going through difficulties. Lord, speak to us about our own responsibilities when You're laying someone on our heart to go minister to them. Help us to do it. And I pray for someone who doesn't have a church family that if You're leading them to this church family, Lord, help them to unite with this church family and be active member of this church. And Lord, I pray for anyone that doesn't yet have true saving faith, that today would be the day that they would trust Jesus as their Savior, follow Him in baptism, and begin to live for Him. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.